The speaker is Crystal M.
My name's Crystal. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Crystal.
I'm not nervous. See, when I was out there and I was nervous, all I had to do was take a couple shots and give me a table and some music, and let's get the party started. My name's Crystal. I'm an alcoholic, and I come from a big Mexican family, so alcohol was definitely present. And I had my first drink at 12, and I initially drank. I did not know this. Obviously, until I came to the program and I worked some steps and God revealed it to me that I initially drank because I was trying to drown out all the negative emotion that I had as a child that I did not know how to deal with because I came from a broken home. My first drink took place here in Lemon Grove. I was living in L.A., but we came down for a New Year's party, and there was wine and Pepsi. And I mixed those two together. And oh, it was good. You don't even know. It was so good. I took five of those big little goblet thingies. You know, my grandmother loved swirling her wine in there. Burgundy, I think it was. And my mom and my dad were gone, and it was a party. So I missed them. You know what I mean? Like, when you come from a broken home and you don't get really paid attention to, like, the time that they are there, if they are paying any attention to you, it's like you crave for that. And that, you know, usually around family, because my family was like, what goes on at home, stays at home, they faked it. So they were nice and lovable, and I was like, yeah, they were being nice and lovable. And I really wanted that, and they had left to another party and left me and my sisters there and my brother. And I started drinking, and then all I remember was by the second or third one, because I was thirsty, everything started being okay. And everything started going away. And everything got happier, and I could just say whatever I wanted to say, and any emotion. And I had never experienced that before. So now coming into my first drink, when I think about it now as an alcoholic, what I used to do was, when I got sick, my mom used to give me NyQuil. So, but she told me to take it because she didn't deal with it. Oh, you're sick. Here you go. Take that. I noticed that later on I kept drinking NyQuil just because it was fun. And just because I wanted to go down the stairs on my butt or play with my sisters and brothers and be sloppy. Like, it was fun to me, the effects, because everything was fun. Everything got, like, just the whole, I mean, as an alcoholic, you know, it just got better. I don't know why. I don't know how. It just did. So I just took it, and that's all that mattered. When I was 16, I had gone into, we moved from L.A. to New Mexico. And the funny thing is, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought, and I've said this before, I thought it was supposed to be, like, a group of big, old, dirty, stinking men that scratched themselves and were named like some ridiculous name. You go to New Mexico and in the Midwest, there are actually a couple of those guys, but they're like the biggest sweethearts. And so coming into Alcoholics Anonymous, I had drank at 16 and started doing other things, and I just got sloppier and sloppier, and things started just not mattering anymore. I just wanted to go to school drunk. It made it better. I wanted to go to the movies drunk. It made it better. I wanted to date you drunk because it made me more relaxed or even better, or, you know, just things that women have, you know, women, she's laughing. Things that women need to do. Okay. Wow. I initially drank for the feeling. I got married really young, at 19. I came down from New Mexico to visit, and I met someone. I moved down here, and he gave me, like, alcohol and pills, and it didn't work out, and I was done with men. A week later, I met my potential husband. 3 months later, we got married. 3 years later, we got divorced. He was in the military, so I got to do whatever I did with his money, and he wasn't there to tell me different. So I initially drank and started using drugs with his mom, and then my life crashed down. Towards the end of my drinking, I had lost my daughter, I lost my marriage, I lost my home, I lost my job, I lost most of my friends. Well, actually, they weren't really my friends. I lost my drinking buddies. I lost my boyfriends, yet I was married. I lost everything, you know what I'm saying? And I lost myself. I lost who Crystal was. And even though there was a really messed up little girl there, I just lost it. I didn't want to live anymore. The morning that my husband had left me, I remember I clearly wanted to die. I had no reason to live. I lost everything, right? My sister then walked in with a joint, and I was like, yeah, let's smoke. Why kill ourselves? We can get high. So that's what happened. And the next day, I was talking to mental health services, and it's almost like I couldn't even get in anywhere. A week later, he had came back and said, you know what, you need to go to rehab. And I was like, I don't need rehab. I don't have a problem. What are you talking about? He's like, no, you have a problem. I'm all, no, I don't. Yes, you do. Okay, fine, I'll go. I thought I just needed to stop smoking weed. That's the only problem I saw. And I drank for a week straight in rehab. And they were like, your alcohol level's not going down. I'm all, well, yeah, I've been drinking like a 12-pack a night since I started here. This is stressful. It's rehab. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, this is nuts. She's like, no, you don't understand. You're not allowed to drink. And I literally, like, died inside. I'm like, oh, my gosh, how am I supposed to get loaded? She's like, you're not. And I'm like, oh, what? Are you serious? She's like, yeah, no drugs, no nothing. Nothing. No alcohol. I was like, you are joking. What about NyQuil? And she's like, no, you don't understand. Back to the basics. Nothing. Nothing at all. And I said, okay. He had left me 2 months into it. I came to terms with that beautiful, stupid survey that we have in the back of our meeting schedules. I was like, wow, I'm an alcoholic. And the whole rehab center was laughing at me. I'm like, what are you laughing at? They're like, you're in rehab. I'm like, yeah, but I didn't know I was an alcoholic. You don't understand. This is devastating. Little did I know that was like a big, big, big miracle. Like, that was like grace on point. I did not see my miracle. I'm nuts. Anyway, I was introduced to Young People's. I got a sponsor. My first sponsor ended up going out. She was selling heroin in front of the meeting. And needless to say, we didn't even start the steps. And I didn't relapse. And then I met this one sponsor, and then I relapsed. I think I was like, I relapsed a couple times. But it took what it took to where I am at today. Like, I'm okay with my past now, you know. I wasn't okay. I wasn't okay with my fourth step because there was nothing wrong with me. But my fourth step showed me different. And I was definitely not okay with my sixth step and my seventh step because I didn't need to ask anybody to help me. I had to help myself. And that's where it got me. And I didn't get it. I had a lot of pride. Seven deadly sins is something I definitely carried with me, and I wanted to hold on to them. Today, the only thing, the biggest difference today is that I have a relationship with God. Today, He graced me with spending time with my daughter. I had gotten her back. With somebody that I truly love, and people in recovery, and the God of my understanding. Like, I get to talk to Him, I get to read about Him, I get to read my literature, I get to work my steps, and I get to go to meetings and do volunteer work. Volunteer work? Are you joking me? I hate volunteer work, especially when it's public information and you have to go and talk to people about things. And they ask you the most ridiculous questions, like, are you serious right now? Yeah, I got a friend that thinks they have a problem. I'm like, well, if you could call the number in the back, you can find a meeting near you. And they get all surprised, like, how do you know that? I was you, except I still didn't think I had a problem. When God showed me what the steps could do in my life, I wanted to tell everybody everything. That was, I came in pretty vulnerable, and I spread my junk out there like nothing. Dude, that sounded wrong. It was like I needed the attention of you guys so bad that it could be good and it was bad at the same time. I would cling on to anybody and everything. I would take people, you know, hold people hostage. Through the steps and through meetings and definitely speaking with some women, it showed me that God's poured grace upon my life today to, what does that mean? Oh, I'm wrapping it up. Okay. thanks for letting me know. He just showed me that I have a life here that I never dreamed of before. That I couldn't drink to life, I couldn't smoke to life, or I couldn't do whatever I had to do to life. The steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and my higher power, my God, definitely pours grace upon me every day, even when I don't deserve it. And it's my job as a fellow member of Alcoholics Anonymous to spread a message of hope if I can and be of service, because when I came in broken, that cliche that I couldn't love myself. You loved me until I had to love myself. You know what I'm talking about, right? Anyway, I love myself today. But I also love the people that loved me back, and I get to be of service to them and to newcomers, and I have a really blessed life. And I want to thank everybody. I might not know everybody here. I know a couple of you, Christian and Timmy and Sammy, and I heard you speak. That was pretty cool. And Jason. Those are the only people I know, but I want to thank you guys for being a part of my sobriety. You guys, like, each and one of you have played a special part in my life, whether it be ridiculousness to non-ridiculousness, and show me how to love as a woman. You guys are so amazing. Please stick around, and thank you so much for letting me speak. Thank you.